Praise God. Well, it's always good when God takes over the agenda. And, you know, you just let him have his way. And so I'm just grateful for the presence of the Lord, aren't you? That, my friends, is everything. And whether here or at home, wherever you are, he is. And he's with you. And his presence is everything. And praise God, you know, so if I don't get all the way through this morning's word, so be it. Because that time in his presence is, I wouldn't trade it. So we'll see how far we get. And praise God. Open up to Matthew chapter 11, if you would, with me this morning. Some well-known words I want to read to you. Jesus said to me, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls." Would you say that with me this morning? "And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." My message title this morning is this: you need to get some rest. Can I hear an amen? Now, before you get excited and think, wonderful, the preacher's telling me to sleep more and stay in my bed. Because typically when we think about rest, you know, that's where our mind begins to kind of wander towards. You know, when we're wearied or we're tired or we're burdened, we think of the need of physical rest. And of course, that's understandable and it's right. But that's initially where our thinking will go. When someone says, "You need to get some rest," you might think, "Well, I need to get some more sleep." Maybe that is a word for some of you this morning. You might think, "I need to take a break. Perhaps I'll pick up a hobby because that will help me to rest, you know, have the downtime from the stress and pressure of work. Maybe I'll have some what we call me time. Or maybe I'll find ways to unwind, you know, put on the telly or listen to some music and get some rest." But Jesus was talking about a deeper need for rest. Soul rest. Rest for your soul. The Bible tells us, you know, we're one man or woman made up of three parts: body, soul, and spirit. Your soul, the inner part of you, is made up of three things: your mind, your will, and your emotions, or your heart. The Bible, you know, the heart is the seat of our emotions. Your mind, your will, and your emotions make up your soul. So when Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary," that word weary means to be tired, exhausted with toil or burdens or grief, to feel fatigue, to labor with wearisome effort. Burdened means to be loaded up. In the original language, this is to be loaded up, to be overburdened, or to be overloaded, to be heavy laden. And so when Jesus says rest for your soul, he's saying that mentally and emotionally and in the area of our will in our life, there are things that can cause us to feel tired, exhausted, with toil, or that can be burdens or grief. We feel a fatigue. We can labor with wearisome effort. Anyone ever felt like, "I just keep going and going and nothing's changing," and it's wearying, it's tiring? We can feel loaded up, overburdened, overloaded, heavy laden. And Jesus says, if you in any way identify that with that, you need to find rest for your soul, for your mind, in your heart, and in the area of your will. And I'll explain more about that in a moment. I was listening to someone recently and they said this: your soul is like a boardroom. It's where the great issues of your life are debated. Meetings take place in our soul. The members of the board are mind, will, and emotions. And the problem we have is that the members of the board often want to pull in different directions. And that inner turmoil can cause a restlessness inside of us. There are often moments when our souls get tired, often difficult moments, times of life, or because of certain issues or struggles. And what we find is our mind, our heart, and our will clash. Anyone ever find that? I certainly can recognize that in my own life. There are times when they want to clash, where it's very hard to seem to get the board to agree in a certain direction to move things forward. So your head's saying one thing and your heart the other. Or your head and your heart are in agreement, but your will saying, "I don't feel like doing that. You're not going to do that. You don't want to do that." And so we often find that sometimes our head says something, our heart says something else. Your mind says you need to deal with this. Your emotions and your will say, "We don't want to." Your mind says you need to try harder. Your emotions and your will are saying, "We don't have the energy for this." Your heart's saying, "Go with your feelings and what makes you happy." But your mind's saying, "You know, that's not wise." Your will is saying, do this, don't do that. But your head and your heart are saying, that's not right, don't listen to him. And that internal tension, that disagreement that we can sometimes feel on the inside of us causes an inner rest, an inner unrest or restlessness that can be wearying, tiring, burdening. And it begins to show itself in different ways for different people. For some, anxiety, for others, frustration, confusion, sadness, anger, heaviness, brokenness, isolation. People begin to withdraw. Burnout. For me, stress. Stress. When I begin to feel that inner unrest, when my head and my heart and my will are not seeming to want to go in the right same direction, they're clashing, I don't know quite what to do, I don't know how to move forward with the way I'm feeling, it causes me stress. Where do you take the burden of a restless soul? Where do you take a restless mind when you're struggling with those thoughts? Where do you take a restless will when you don't seem to have the, you know, the oomph to do it, to do what needs to be done or to not do what you shouldn't be doing? Where do you take restless emotions and a restless heart? I love the way the Amplified Classic Version says this. It says, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, meek and humble, lowly in heart. You will find rest, relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, it's useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp or pressing, but comfortable, gracious and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be born. If in any sense this morning you relate to the words weary and burdened, Jesus is speaking to you. He wants you to come to him so he can cause you to rest. He wants to ease and relieve and refresh your souls, your mind, your will, your emotion, your hearts. He wants to bring relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quiet in that inner boardroom of your life for your souls. He wants to bring harmony and agreement and peace into the boardroom so you can begin to move forward. And so the rest that Jesus says is much more than sleep. It's Jesus promising to bring rest where there is anxiety, frustration, confusion, sadness, anger, heaviness, brokenness, isolation, burnout, stress on the inside. And Jesus invites us, Matthew 11 is an invitation to experience a promised rest. But with every invitation comes an RSVP. And to experience this invitation from Jesus to you, I would say not just this morning, but friends, you know, listening to what God was saying to us earlier on, as Rick was sharing that, as we head into this month, take it as an invitation from Jesus. And right now, what you have to do is, am I going to respond to experience what he promises me? You see, we often think of rest as being found in doing nothing. If I've got nothing on the agenda or nothing to do, then I'm at rest. But Jesus says to experience rest, you have to do something. Come to me. Come to me. I find that often when we're weary and burdened, and I very, very much put myself in this category, we're often saying that to Jesus. When we need to remember, he's saying that to us. Often when we're wearied and burdened, we begin to approach him in a way that sort of says, Jesus, come to me. Come to me. And it's like we're waiting for him to come to us when actually Jesus is saying, you find rest by going after me. He says, come. Come speaks of movement. Jesus doesn't offer us 10 ways to relieve our weariness or our stress. He puts forward himself as the solution. He's the solution to our burdens. The Passion Translation says, I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. You will find refreshment and rest in me. Come. It speaks of movement. Jesus is saying to experience rest. It's much more than just believe in me, like he says in other, it's come to me. It speaks of movement. Jesus is saying you've got to begin to make a move. I want to encourage you as we head into this, make a move. Jesus is appealing for movement. He says you will, quote, find rest for your souls. In Psalm 62, verse 1 and 5, David says twice there, my soul finds rest in God alone. You know, I've never found anything by doing nothing. I have to do something. It requires movement for me to discover and find that. And so when I begin to pray and worship, I have to begin to realize to find rest, it's not to come to him like I'm just waiting for Jesus to come to me, but it's to actually say, Lord, I am coming after you. I am coming to you. What do I do when my soul, when my mind, my will, my emotion, my heart is restless, it's weary and burdened? Jesus says, bring it to me. Bring your soul to me. Bring your mind to me. That struggle that you've got with those thoughts. Bring your attention to me. Bring your wearied, confused, maybe doubting mind to me. Bring your heart to me. I want your heart to be in it. Jesus says, bring your emotions. Friends, I believe that Jesus unlocks emotions. And you know that some people, for some of us, we need to bring him a heart because Jesus wants to unlock your emotions. Bring your will and your desire, therefore, to me. Deuteronomy 30, verse 10 says, turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Bring them all. But you know, if I'm being really honest this morning, I don't always bring them all. You know, sometimes we can just come with our mind. We bring our mind. Some people just bring their mind. I come because I believe. I pray and read my Bible. I worship and I go to church because I believe it's the right thing to do. But they never really let Jesus touch their heart. And he wants to touch your heart. Bring it all. He wants to unlock your emotion. He wants to heal that brokenness. He wants to deal with the thing. Friends, something is so much more powerful, isn't it, when your heart is in it. You know, your will finds it hard to get motivated when your heart's not in it. Bring it all. Some just come with their heart. They bring their heart. Well, they're all about the encounter. They're all about experiencing and feeling God. They've had powerful experiences and they know he's real. But when they don't feel him, their mind, because they haven't bought that, starts saying things like this. Well, is it real? You're not feeling anything. You haven't felt anything for a long time. Does God still love you? News flash or check, I don't know which way to say. I don't always feel God. And so if my faith rests on my emotions, if I feel God, I feel good, I'm going to be in trouble. When Jesus is saying, come to me, he's saying, bring your mind too. You've got to open your Bible. You've got to let the truth of his word cause you to understand his promises. Cause you to understand who you are in him and who he is in you. Bring your mind. Let him begin to shape your understanding, as we were here this morning, of your identity, of who you are in Christ, so that when your mind says, well, you're not, you know, when your heart's saying, well, you're not feeling anything, your mind said, ha, but I know I'm a son of God or a daughter. Let his truth shape your mind. Well, what about my will? Well, you got to bring that too. Because you know what? There are times when your head won't feel like it's in the right place and your heart won't be feeling it. But Psalm 34 verse 1 has always stuck with me when David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Sometimes, friends, coming to him simply looks like making a choice to worship. It's a decision of our will. And so for my soul to find the rest that Jesus promises me, I have to bring my soul, all of me, not part of me, to him. I have to let him touch my mind, touch my will, touch my emotions, touch my heart. And real rest comes when we let him begin to bring the whole board together. All those attentions, all those thoughts. Jesus saying, bring it all. Bring it all. And you know, so when he's saying not part of you, I feel that we need to recapture, and I hope this makes sense, and this comes across when I say, I feel that we need to recapture something of movement. When we come into God's presence, we need to begin to move towards him. It's so easy to slip into an apathy when we come into God's presence. So easy to slip into a, well, Jesus, you come to me and you know where I am. It's so easy to come into his presence and actually not bring all of you and actually hold back and sing songs but not really feel like you're engaged. Is it just me who's ever guilty of that? Please reassure me that I'm not on my own. You know, the other day, I had to drive somewhere. Beth had been out. I had to drive somewhere to pick her up. I had a good sort of 40 minutes in the car on my own. I just felt, as I got into the car and I began to drive, as I set off for my drive, I just said, Jesus, I'm going to bring you my all. I just cranked my music up and I began to worship with everything I had within me because I realized, friends, that so often I just come into his presence and I'm not making a move. I'm not moving towards him. So I feel restless. Jesus is saying, you've got to come to me. You've got to begin to move towards me. You've got to begin to bring your all in that moment. Bring your mind, bring your heart, bring your will, and begin to move towards me. And he says, and I will give you rest. You will find rest. I discovered a peace, a rest in my car. I was grateful to have 10 minutes before Beth turned up to sort myself out. It was one of them. See, Psalm 103 verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I just want to ask you a question this morning. If you're feeling weary or burdened, when's the last time when you came to him, you just went all in? You brought your head, your heart, your will, your mind, your attention, your focus, your heart, everything. Secondly, Jesus says here, the key to finding rest is take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, I may be teaching you things you already know, but a yoke was a wooden beam shaped to go across the neck, the shoulder, around the necks of two animals that would be tied together to drag a load, to drag a plow, as they would work together in tandem. Once they were yoked, they were bound together. They were committed to one another, to walking together. You know, a yoke is a symbol of partnership. Two working on something rather than one. The whole function of a yoke was that the burden would be shared. It would be easier to carry. Friends, I think it's a beautiful thing that in a stressful world, Jesus says you don't need to drag that load and carry that burden on your own. You know, so often when we get restless, for some reason, we seem to lose sight of that. And we struggle under the weight of stuff. But Psalm 55 verse 22 says, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. The Message version says, pile your troubles on God's shoulders. He'll carry your load and he'll help you out. But the point is this, friends, to find rest, you have to stay attached to Jesus. Yoked to him. Whenever, for whatever reason, you begin to detach from Jesus, my experience is this, for whatever has caused it, if there's a begin to make a detachment, if I begin to move, if I'm not attached to him, then I find this is very simple. My stress levels, my anxiety levels, my frustration levels go up. Anyone else? But when I stay close to him and attached to him, they don't. When Jesus said, take my yoke, he was saying, you've got to make sure you stay attached to me. He wants us to understand that of all our relationships in our life, being yoked to him is the number one thing. It's what matters the most. Doing life with him, alongside him, together with him. You know, a yoke was exclusive. It was one to one. You know, an ox couldn't be yoked to many others besides. Jesus wants an exclusive, close, attached relationship with you. that when his friends committed to you, and when you commit to him, he helps and he leads you and causes you to find rest. If I want to find rest, who and what I attach myself to matters. Some of us need to know that the key to experiencing the rest is going to require a detaching from some wrong yokes in our life. There are some things and there are some relationships that we know pull us from him. And to find rest, I have to detach from them. There are material yokes, there are pleasure yokes, there are relational yokes. Who we do life alongside matters in friendship and business, relationships and marriage. Jesus was saying to experience rest, you number one have to partner with me. You have to walk with me. I was listening to someone talk the other day about St. Augustine, and they said this. They said he was a restless guy. He lived in the 4th century, a man with a brilliant mind and a great desire to find life. At 17, he left home to go and live a life of indulgence, but ended up feeling totally lost and in pain. But his mother, Monica, continually prayed for her son. After years had gone by, one day he read Romans 6 and he put his faith in Jesus Christ. And this is what he said to God. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Not only was a yoke a symbol of partnership, it was also a symbol of surrender. It was giving up the right to just go your own way and do your own thing. You know, when you're under the yoke of Christ, yes, you are surrendering control. You're saying, I'm not going to go in a different direction to Jesus. That's tough at times because, let's be honest, there are times when my head and my heart and my will want to pull in a different direction to the one that Jesus wants to take me. There are times when it's going great and there are times when he says, I'm going to take you down a hard path. And you say, well, that's quite far enough, Lord. I'd quite like to just detach right now. Don't take me down that path. But it's surrendering that. See, Jesus says he'll not only share our burden and our load, but he asks us to take his upon us. There are things he will ask of you. He will lay upon you. He will expect of you. It's given him the right to set the pace for your life. That means at times he'll want to slow you down. That means at times he'll want to speed you up. That means at times he might want to take you down a path you don't necessarily feel you want to go, and the boardroom's going, oh, I don't want to go that way. He wants to set the agenda for your life, the direction for your life. His will be done. And sadly, one of the big things that causes such restlessness in Christians, friends, is that they want Jesus as a savior and not as a Lord. It's like, I want him as my savior, but I don't really want to surrender and give him full control and just really let him lead my life and take me down them paths and through them things and deal with those issues. But you cannot have him as savior only. He is savior and Lord. And to some you say, this sounds like a heavy load, the idea of letting go, letting Jesus lead, surrender and control. For the boardroom just to go, do you know what? There's another seat at the table right now. Mind, will and emotions are sitting here, but there's another empty seat. Jesus, sit at the head of the table and lead. Make the decisions, call the shots. We surrender control. You think that sounds heavy and it sounds negative. And some people say, I don't want that. I want to detach from that. That sounds demanding. But Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The things he lays on us and asks of us are not heavy. He's not a slave driver. And remember, he's pulling with us. As the Amplified Version says earlier on, as I read it to you then, it says, my burden, he says here, my yoke is wholesome. It's useful. It's good. It's not harsh. It's not hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. Those times when your soul's going, the boredom's going, I want to go this way. And Jesus is saying, you've got to come this way. I just find that whenever I begin to pull against Jesus, there's no rest. In fact, there's pain and frustration and disappointment. I just want to ask you a question this morning. Who's setting the pace of your life right now? Who's setting the agenda? Who's setting the direction? Because I find when I start to set the pace, I get stressed out. I get burnt out. I get exhausted. But Jesus says, walk with me. Attach to me. Let me set the pace. Learn of me, he says. Let me teach you to rest. Let me lead you to a place of rest. If you want to find rest, you've got to let him lead. You just need to know this morning, if there's a restlessness, friends, come to a fresh place of surrender. When your mind and your heart and your will are confused and battered all over the place and you don't know what's going on and you're weary and tired and exhausted, just come to a fresh place of surrender. Just bring your heart, your mind, your will, your emotions, lay it all down. They all want different things. Lay it all down and let Jesus take the lead. Bring your soul to him. Come to me. It may be a difficult path, but you know what, friends? I want to walk in his will. And that's where he wants to lead me, into his will. And some people get restless about that in their life. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what his will is for my life. I just want to say, friends, if you learn to come and you learn to surrender, rest. Because Jesus will lead you into it. He'll keep you from missing it. So as I finish this one, I want to ask you a question. Are you weary? Are you burdened? Just close your eyes with me this morning. Just visualize that boardroom. There's four seats at that desk, at that table, that meeting. And maybe there's a meeting going on in that boardroom right now, as you've heard me preach this morning. Your head's saying one thing, your heart's saying something else, your will's saying something else, or maybe a couple of them are agreeing and the other one doesn't want to come on board. But I just want you to visualize right now that there's that fourth chair at the head of that table. In that meeting. And Jesus is walking into the room. He's walking into the boardroom. And he's speaking to your mind right now. To all that confusion. To all those things that are going on. To all that frustration. To everything that's going on in your mind. And he's saying, come to me. And he's speaking to your heart right now. And he's speaking to your emotions, and he's saying, come to me. And he's speaking to your will, and he's saying, come to me. As he speaks to your mind, and he speaks to your heart, and he speaks to your will, he's saying, let me lead. Let me cause you to find rest, peace, and harmony, and agreement, and unity in the boardroom. He's saying, bring all of you, not part of you, all that is within. I want all of you to let me lead. I want all of you to come to me. Bring your wounds, your hurts, your disappointments, your regrets, your confusion, your anxieties, your pressures, your inadequacies. Take my yoke. He's saying, commit to me. Break from some stuff in your life. Make me number one. He's saying, learn from me. Let me lead you and teach you. And I promise, he says, I will give you rest. That is a promise from Jesus today. You will find rest for your soul. The Message version says this: are you tired out, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Lord, I just pray. I just pray that, Lord, we will make a move. We'll hear you calling this morning. Come to me, and we will make a move. Lord, I thank you for the invitation. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the promise. Lord, as we leave church today, we go into this next month or so, this next season, Lord, I just pray that throughout we will just keep making a move. We will come to you. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, there will be something beautiful in the area of fresh surrender in our lives. And that, Lord, we will let you lead. Set the agenda, set the pace, set the direction, and lead us so that our soul finds rest in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.